Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we love you, Lord, and thank you for your presence, God. One day in the presence of the Lord, one day of God's favor is better than 1,000 years of man's labor. That one touch of the Master's hand, that's all it takes. One touch of the Master's hand. Hallelujah. What a wonderful presence of God. I do feel like we ought to just do this. 2 Kings 6:15-16. 2 Kings 6:15-16. I give great honor to this choir, the musicians, for leading us into the presence of God, moving with the Holy Ghost and flowing with the anointing of God, being sensitive to the Spirit of the Almighty God. I give honor to our pastor and continue to pray for him and his family as they travel. Mighty man of God, our pastor. Mighty man of God. My Lord, preaching machine, boy, I tell you what, I give honor to this great church as well. I was thinking about the mission conference, and it was almost like camp meeting church, but I just got to be honest with you. Last Sunday night and last Wednesday, our pastor preaching, it was more powerful to me. And I'm not patting him on the back. I don't have a position or a title. I feel that from the Lord. That we're going somewhere deep. God mending the hearts, putting us together last week and Wednesday night and the move of God. And I'm just so thankful. Thankful for what God's doing. Let's go to the word of the Lord. And the Bible said, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. That was God's army. They got an army, and God's got an army. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite the people that have come against us, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord. God, we need your anointing today, God. We need the Holy Ghost, Lord. We need you to have your way, God, in this house. Lord, I pray your blessings be upon the people of God. I pray, Lord, your great anointing, God. Move us, Lord, whichever way we need to go, Lord. And God, may you be honored and may you be glorified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. You can clap your hands and be seated in the presence of the Lord. My title is going to be, They That Be For Us. They That Be For Us. And the book, this book relates to the people of God. They were together. They were for each other. The world was against them. But the people of God were together. The man of God, the prophet Elisha, God uses him in the first 7 verses. I want to ask you a question today. Is having a pastor important? I know the answer. It goes without saying. Is a man of God important in our lives? I heard a story recently by an evangelist, a well-known evangelist in our fellowship, and he was talking about his mother. And he asked his mother, he said, Mama, you need a man of God. Or actually, he told her, you need a man of God in your life. And she said, I've got a TV evangelist. I've got a TV preacher in my life. That's my man of God. And he said, Mama, whenever the babies are sick and the grandbabies are sick, or when we need to have a marriage ceremony or dedicate a baby, or when you're on your deathbed, are you going to call the TV preacher? And she thought for a minute and she said, no. And he said, you need a man of God. Because the TV preacher, he's not going to come and anoint you with oil when you got cancer. He's not going to come and pray for your babies when they're lost. He's not going to tell you what you need to do when your back is up against the wall. But a man of God in a house of God, he'll do that. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Are you thankful that you got a man of God in your life? I am. I go to my preacher and I say this or that or the other's happening. And he'll say, sometimes he'll give me a word, a yes or a no. And sometimes he'll say, let's pray about it. And I've learned, that's what I do with my kids. I've learned that already from my man of God right here that we've got. They'll say, what about this, Daddy? And I'll say, let's pray about it. Hallelujah. But verses 1 through 7, I did not read them, but it's no small miracle that we ought to go back and look at it, because so much could be overlooked. First, the people of God, they came to the man of God. The place they're living is too small. Let us go to Jordan, cut logs, build bigger houses. Be pleased to go with your servants. They ask him to go, and he goes. And it's a good thing he went, because something happened there, and they needed the man of God's help. You see, the scripture lets us know that God was with them. As they were building and as they were causing, chopping trees down, logs were falling. The axe head fell off of the axe. It seems like a simple thing. It really seems so simple that you would look over it. They went to him. They said, the place that we're living, we've outgrown it. We need to go down to Jordan, and we need to build bigger houses. Man of God said, go. That's right. You're hearing from God. And they said, would you go with us? And he said, yeah, I'll go with you. And while they were there, and while they were working and chopping trees down and chopping the logs, they had a borrowed axe. It seemed like such a simple thing. And the axe head fell off. And he cried out and he said, just like the servant did in verse 16 and 15. He said, Master, the axe head fell off. It was borrowed. It was borrowed. They're going to accuse us of stealing. And the man of God said, cut me a stick. And he cut him a stick. And he throwed it on the water and the axe head floated and swam. And he said, reach down and pick it up. It don't even seem to fit with what's going on in this chapter. And God said, this is where you see and where you know you've got to have a man of God in your life. Because there's situation and circumstance that's going to happen in your life, and you're not going to know what to do. But the man of God, through God, following Christ, and God speaking to him, he's going to have an answer for you. That's why it's so important. The axe head was recovered. Boom, problem solved. Seemed like such a small thing, but don't overlook it. The people, they had knowledge. They needed the larger space. The man of God was in agreement with them. It was okay for them to have their own thoughts, their own ideas. Hey, it's all right for you to think outside the box. You're not a bunch of robots. The man of God said, yeah, you're hearing from the Lord. And then they said, go with us. It's important to have that leadership in our life. And then I began to think, there's three things that the Lord showed me that was happening in this verse, in these verses 1 through 7. The people were together. They had unity. They had a mind to work together. They had a man of God in their life. They went to him when they got big decisions, when problems arise, and God used him to help them. The third is just the outcome of the first two. You do them too and it'll go well with you. God will be with you. Master, it's borrowed. The axe head fell off. Throw the stick in the water. It swam. There it is. God solved the problem. But look deeper. It was lost. Now it's found. Now we got, hey, I've got lost loved ones. They're lost. Hey, man of God, I need you to help me pray. God's going to bring them in, church. God knows what he's doing today. verse 8 through 14, things begin to heat up. I'm not going to read it, but the king of Syria, he's going after the people of God. God reveals the secret things to the prophets. Elisha warns the king of Israel, and God's people escape every time. The king of Syria gets angry. Who's letting the king of Israel know our position? It's got to be one of our own people. It's got to be one of the Syrians. And they said, no, it's not. Elisha the prophet, when you're in your bedchamber and you're making plans to go and destroy the people of God, God reveals it to Elisha the prophet, to the man of God. Hallelujah. And he said, well, go and find Elisha and tell me where he's at so I can bring him here. This is in verse 8 through 14, leading up to what we started out with. See, God's always, the Lord spoke to me a few months ago, and he said, have you ever thought of the thought that God knows the end of a thing? He said, I know the beginning. I know the beginning before the end. God's got this. He knows what's happening. God's got your family member right in the palm of his hand. The Lord knows right where they're at. Hey, if the sparrow can't touch the ground and he don't know about it, if the hairs of our head are all numbered, then God knows the number of them, and they may be less and less, but if God knows that, he knows right where we're at today. And he knows right where your loved ones are at. And he knows what you have need of before you ask. But oh, he's so delighted when we ask. The man of God in our life. They go, they converge on them in the Valley of Dothan. And you know the rest of the story. That God uses the man of God to bring the scales off of the servant's eye. The servant runs out screaming and hollering, man of God, they're coming in on us. The servant rose up early in the morning and ran out. The Bible don't say that Elisha ran out. The man of God, and I'll take my liberty here, but maybe he was just sleeping. Maybe the man of God was asleep, and Elisha's servant ran out and said, they're fixing to take us out. The Syrians, they've got the Valley of Dothan. They've got it surrounded. Horses and chariots everywhere. Master, we're fixing to be annihilated. We're done. We're over with. Man of God, just real simply, hey, Lord, take the scales off his eyes. Show him that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I mean, just so simple. Hallelujah. So simple. Reminds me of Mark 4 when Jesus had taught in the parables to the disciples. And then he explained to them, I use parables to teach you. And then he opened their eyes so they would understand the parables. And then right immediately following that, he says, let's go across the sea. And while they're going across the sea in the ship, a great storm. And Jesus is doing what? The same thing Elisha was. He's sleeping on a pillow. He's like, I got this. And then they run in. Master, Master, it's a storm. We're going to be destroyed. And what did Jesus do? He arose. He rebuked the wind. But then he said, oh, ye of little faith, you should have arose and rebuked the wind. Hallelujah. Because my spirit's inside of you. No, the Holy Ghost hadn't been given yet, but he was teaching them about faith. He just got through talking to them about faith, that if it was the size of a grain of mustard seed, that if it fell in the ground, that it would rise up and it would be a tree so big that the birds would branch in the limbs. And he was saying that if you got faith that big, even the size of a little bitty mustard seed, that if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, or if you get up and you command the storm to stop, hey, I'm with you. They that be for us are more than they that be with them. And that's what God's trying to tell us today. The unity that we have, the unity that took place last Sunday night, the move of God in these altars, when God brought us together as a people, and God is doing heart surgery on us, and God is getting our hearts right so that we can be unified. Hallelujah. Thank God for a man of God that'll hear from God and try to get us together. Thank God for a man of God that'll hear from God and try to get us together. Because if we're united, we can conquer everything. Hallelujah. For the kingdom. We can do it, church. There was an old preacher friend of mine. He'd tell a story, and he would say that there was a demon that would come into his room, into his bedroom, and would torment him. And this went on for months and months. And then after a while, and it would scare him to death, it would startle him so much. And he would come in and he would fight with him and war with him and he'd struggle. And it would startle him and scare him. Then finally after a while he realized, he don't have no power over me. I've got the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And then all of a sudden when he would walk in, he'd just roll over and say, oh, it's just you. And go back to sleep. Church, God is with us. We serve a God that's greater than any demon. We serve a God that's greater than any foe that we would ever face. No matter what it is, whether it's a financial burden, whether or not it's a sickness in our body, whether it's a lost loved one, I guarantee you there's not one single person in here that's not facing some kind of battle. If we'll all be honest and I'll be honest, I can assure you that I face many. But I know a God that's with me. And the Bible said that if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Because they that be for us are more than they that be with them. And hear me and understand today that our war is not with the people of the world. It's not with the flesh. It's with the spirit. It's with the demons and his cronies. And you've heard it said, and it is true, that sometimes there's things that happen that it's the flesh doing it. But don't never, ever, ever let your guard down and think that there ain't a devil and a bunch of demons trying to influence flesh. Because we know Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, it's very clear that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world. We've got to stay steadfast in prayer. We've got to continue to assemble together in the church house. We got to stay behind the man of God. We got to pray one for another. And all this combined, they that be for us are more than they that be with them. Hallelujah. We got a God, we got a man of God, and we got a church house full of saints that love God. And I've got your back, and you've got my back, and we're in this together. Hallelujah. And in the end, we don't just win, but God wins. Because upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're working with God to build a kingdom. Not my kingdom, his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. What a God we serve today. The battles that's being fought that are in the chamber of our man of God and his wife, and when they're on their knees praying and God's got them on a fast, so many days of fasting. We don't even begin to know the battles that they're facing. We don't even begin to understand the chastisement that goes on in their bedchamber, in their room at night, and the enemy comes in and tries to torment them. Devil, we praying for our man of God. And when he comes in trying to torment you, I'm praying for my brother. I'm praying for my sister. God, I want you to deliver them. God, I want you to give them everything they need. Hallelujah. God is for us, and we bear one another's burdens. The Bible said, bear ye one another's burdens, and what? So fulfill the law of Christ. Hallelujah. The law of Christ is, God is for us, and I am for you, and you are for me, because we're in this together, and we're going to win in the end. We're going to win. I went to the back of the book, and we end in the wind. In the wind. Now I'm getting tongue-tied now. I'm getting in the wind. I need God, church. I can't make it without him. I can't make it without God. I need Jesus in my life, Brother Spanky. I was sitting in my prayer room. I was weeping. I was praying. I'm about to burn up. And I was weeping before the Lord. And I'd been fasting. I can talk about it now because I ain't doing it now. I'm going to go eat here in a little while. I can't wait. But oh God, I was weeping. And I said, Lord, I know that me fasting, it's going to get an impurity out of me. It's going to get something out of me that ain't right. God, because I want to go to heaven. I want to make it to that place. I want to go to that city that's built four square. I want to go to that place with the streets of gold. Hallelujah. A city built not by the hands of man. 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500. You know the story that Abraham, that he searched for a city whose builder and founder and maker is God. I want to go to that place one day. But there can't be nothing in me that causes a lie or hatred or anything else. God, you got to burn it out of me. Because I got to make it. I got to make it. I got to make heaven my home. And this fasting, God, I can't move a mountain, but you can. God, I can't heal the sick, but you can. God, I can't save somebody and give them the Holy Ghost, but you can. And on, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't. But I know a God that can, church. And God, I'm fasting and praying because I'm desperate. I'm desperate, God. I'm desperate. And he said, these kind cometh not out but by much prayer and fasting. And a few weeks ago, I was in the altar. And one of my brothers in the Lord, he waved at me, said, come here. And I came. And he came to me. He said, this is what I'm facing. I got a need. This is what I need you to pray with me about. And I grabbed his, Brother Spanky, let me see your hand. We did what the Bible said. We agree, we touched and agreed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, you said if two of us shall agree as to touching anything on earth, it shall be done. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Lord, grant it now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what we got to do, church. We got to bear one another's burdens. We got to let God work through us. We got to let the Holy Ghost be preeminent in our life. Because God's saying that if we're going to make it out of this world, it's going to be together. Because he's got a church. He's got a bride of Christ. And he's washing it with the water of the word. And he said, I'm preparing a bride that's without spot or wrinkle. And that's how we're going to get out of here. And the same thing happened to me Wednesday night. Oh my God. I need help. I'm fasting. I'm at the end of my rope. I got a child that is not serving God. I've got this and I've got this and I've got this. And God, I got to keep myself right. Lord, I got to keep myself under the blood. I got to come to the altar. It's a place of death, but it's also a place of life and a place of renewal. Oh God, this outward man's got to perish. This inward man's got to be renewed. Oh, and I got my brother. I said, I need help. Pray for me. And you did. You was the one. You prayed for me. You just happened to be on up here with me today. But my God, we took authority over it. And God's going to do what God's going to. Hey, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. And we're not fighting against our brothers and sisters. We're in this together. And we're not fighting against the people of the world. We're in this to win them into this. Hallelujah. There's a church so that we can glorify God. We can edify the body of Christ. We can build one another up. We can encourage one another. And we can reach the lost. Hallelujah. Because not only do you need to know that I'm with you. And we need to know that our man of God's with us. And we know that God is with us. And you put all that together, they that be for us are more than they that be with them. Satan might have went up into heaven, and Jesus said, I beheld him fall like lightning from heaven. And he drew a third of the angels with him. He might have done that. But that means there's two-thirds of the angels that are here with you, Brother Ray. There's two-thirds of them that are here with us. There's two-thirds of them. God, take the scales off of our eyes. Let us know they that be for us are more than they that be with them. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not fighting them. We're fighting the devil. We're not fighting them. We're fighting the enemy today. The enemy is the devil. The enemy is the demons that went with him. That's the enemy. But praise God, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God for the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Because that's how we're going to get out of here. God, give us the Holy Ghost today. God, help us to give somebody else the Holy Ghost. No, I can't give it to them. You know what I mean today. God, help us, Lord, to be the vessel, Lord, that can go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to do it. We got to do it, church. God is with us. God is for us. I'll never forget. And it's got to be that way. We got to assemble here. We come assembled into the house of God. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as has become the manner of some. There's some churches that don't assemble no more. There's some that don't come together anymore. That's why they don't have power. That's why they're not seeing any miracles. They're not seeing any signs and wonders. They're not seeing any babies being born. And I weep and I cry with the pastor when he said that it just bothered him that babies are not weeping in the altar and the baptismal, the water's not troubled. But God, I'm asking you right now, Lord, to trouble the waters. God, trouble the waters. Lord, trouble the waters. Bring them in, Lord. Bring them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. In the name of Jesus, do it, God. Trouble the waters. Trouble the waters. Trouble the waters. Hallelujah. I was listening to a preacher in the Philippines. It was back in the 70s. And they were having church in a rice mill in a building that was abandoned. It was an old rice mill, and they were on one of the islands that had nothing but Muslims on it. And the Muslims started throwing hand grenades at the rice mill. We're going to kill the Christians. We're going to destroy them. But you know what they did? They stayed in the house of God, the rice mill. They stayed in the church. Man of God said, we're going to pray. We're going to pray God. Because if they went out, they're going to die anyway. They're going to die anyway. Man of God said, we're going to pray. And they finally busted through the door. And here they come. They come filing in. And they got their automatic weapon. And they just shooting. Some little 17-year-old girl, she stood up and she lifted her hands and she said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to be stopped right now. And all of them dropped their guns, Brother Butch, and they ran out the door. And not one person was dead in the building. When it was all said and done, one of them had a shirt that had 38 bullet holes in it. And the other one had a shirt that had 28 bullet holes in it. Church, our God is for us. We may not be facing that. That tells me that whatever we face, we can make it with our man of God, with our church and our brothers and sisters, with our God that's with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was another very interesting story that I read. I'm not going to be much longer because God is fixing to touch us in a mighty way right here. God's fixing to do something that's going to catapult us into whatever God is trying to do. I'm telling you, I want to build your faith. There's a man, I don't even know if he was of our persuasion, it don't matter. Like Brother Stevenson said, when we get to heaven, it's not going to say UPC, WPF, it's not going to say ALJC, if they obey the gospel. It's not going to say independent, IMF, none of that. But he got on a train, this is way back, and he had a fiddle, and he was going to a concert. And he was practicing his fiddle. Train's going along. Lord spoke to him. He said, the next train depot, stop and get out. Get out. He knew the voice of God. He knew it was the Lord. Train stopped. He gathered his bags up, his clothes, got his violin, went out, started walking. Hallelujah. Lord, where am I going? Just walk. He walks all the way to the next town. I don't know how far it was. He gets into the town. The Lord says, turn right on that street. He walks down it. The Lord said, go left on that street. He gets on down there, and there's a white wood frame house. And there's a woman standing outside. She said, God told me yesterday that there'd be a man that would show up here at 10:30 today. And he said, I'm that man. She said, I got a baby that's up here that's about dead. And they went in. They went in there, and the baby was all mangled up, almost couldn't breathe. All of its bones was out of place. Hadn't ate nothing. The child was starving to death. He never even prayed a prayer. God said, play the violin. And he started playing. God said, play Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And all of a sudden, he said that bed started shaking. Bones started popping. That girl came back together. Life went into her. And when it was all said and done, she was healed. And she looked up at her mama and she said, I'm hungry. Give me something to eat. That's what our God can do. Our God can do anything. Let's come to the altar. I don't want to go past the anointing. I don't want to go past what God's doing. Church, we got to bear one another's burdens. Right now, you know what you have need of. You know it. And a prophet can come in and he can name it off and he can tell you, you need this, 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 and this.